Okay, so it is Monday morning. This is I don't know how to put this. This is a really awkward version or episode of Dualistic Unity Raw. I don't know, a lot's changed since yesterday's recording in Patreon groups, and I don't even know where to start. I think it should start with the conversation we had on our way to Wing Night yesterday. We were walking to Wing Night and we ended up running into a group of people who were talking about Christianity and Jesus. And of course, we decided, well, what fun in our arrogance. And so we went over and decided to challenge them and talk to them and whatnot. And they ended up coming to Wing Night with us. And it was a transformative evening, to say the least.
It was interesting because, the conversation went back and forth, and I didn't realize I've always been willing to, admit that there's holes in my arguments, logic. I've never felt like it was, fully completed and like I could get it across or even fully bought in to anything, I've been saying or talking about for a while. But these people that we saw, that we chatted with, they made a lot of interesting points is how it began. And the conversation, it got pretty deep pretty soon after that.
Yeah. And oh man, I've had a lot of experiences in my life, but to actually sit and experience the reality of Jesus Christ in the way that we did, just knowing that he was there taking care of us and watching over us, and to feel that presence was transformative. It was it's difficult to describe because I know we've often said, it's just you, but I don't know, man. After that conversation, I can't do this anymore. I'm sorry. I just can't. I'm just trying. I can't. Happy April Fools, everyone. We love you. Oh man. No.
I don't know if we even got to telling him that we were Jesus believers.
Couldn't do it.
I prayed to Jesus and I heard back. I heard his voice back in my ear holes. He talked to me. He's changed lives.
It's funny though, because like I was gonna go a little bit farther on that. I just couldn't keep a straight face. I just couldn't. And it's just because the imagery is just fucking absurd. It's
It's, I
absurd.
almost started to realize how much more ridiculous it is starting to talk
I
about
couldn't do
like
it.
something that's just a conceptual like image in my head.
I'm
Like it's
not gonna be a good actor.
really, it's really, really tough to like fully re like be that convinced.
Of an invisible man watching over you. That's difficult. That's a stretch for sure. Whew, that was challenging.
Did you start sweating?
Oh, I'm warm. I was working
Oh,
out
okay.
just before this.
Oh, I thought that was from the stress of
Oh, possibly. Possibly it's like I'm violating my
the
own body's like
push.
sense of feeling. Like, what
Body's
are you
like
doing? No,
full body
no.
punch.
And we've
It's
been
like,
here before. Don't
yeah,
do it. Yeah.
going back to the most tense
Oh,
you've ever
man.
felt and
But
just
fuck, I gotta tell you, because it's really funny because not all Christians are as Christian as they like to say they are. And what I mean is that, there's a lot of Christians I've met in my life who have, in fact, developed kind of this relationship with their awareness, where when they're talking about Jesus, they're really talking about, well, they're talking about the part of them that isn't disconnected. Like when we talk about our authentic self, that's what they mean by Jesus.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Like you take that shit in, you're like, holy fuck, you're so close. Right? Because they really do. They look at Jesus as that perfect part of consciousness that has no division from anything. They don't even think of it as the man necessarily, so much as what the man symbolizes, which is something that's, you know, possible for every person to touch, but only through Jesus, in the same way we talk about it being only through your authentic self that you can actually feel connected, right? But do you see how immediately they're like, it's only through Jesus, surrender to Jesus, that you don't necessarily get that insight of it's only through you, surrender to yourself. Mm-hmm. See, they don't catch that because it's still Jesus, because they're glorifying this character. Mm-hmm. And in glorifying that character, there is that immediate disconnect. But I have heard that deeper end of the argument and I resonate with it. It's fucking dope. Yeah. Don't get me wrong. But on the other hand, it's super disempowering. Uh-huh. It actually takes you farther away from the reality that even that conceptualization of Jesus is trying to get you closer to.
Yeah. Because, yeah, it's just as soon as there's that, you know, Jesus figure, you know, or something that you're trying to become, it's like it is showing that or expressing that authentic self. But it's fuck, man, I'm not gonna lie, as you were talking, just like now me being authentic here as you were talking, I was like, I don't know what I started to have this thought track where I was like, I don't know what thoughts I'm gonna have about this and going through that. And this is more I've been, but yeah, I'm like, it's almost like just a lot of intense sort of feeling. And yeah, no, then that's all part of what's getting me all wrapped up here.
No, but that's why I get high.
Yeah,
that's why I enjoy being high. It's because uh-huh. all of a sudden you're aware of that there are different levels of thought happening, uh-huh. right? Right? It's true. Yeah. And there are. Like, there's the level of thought where there's just thinking happening, and then there's a level of thought where you're thinking, mm-hmm. and then there's you thinking about you thinking.
Yeah. And I've, and I'm like, I'm seeing now, like, different layers and behind them, and I'm like, no, there's nowhere to take this necessarily. I think it was the overwhelm of like nowhere to take the next point, maybe, that sometimes will hit me. I'll go back and forth with, and not to like completely hijack the Jesus conversation. But I think,
oh, please do.
Even that. Okay. So, you know, with Jesus being this sort of figure that you get to, it's like me right now going through realizing, oh, damn, I'm seeing like different layers of thought or whatever, and have no idea what to say. It's like highest thought of highest self, thought of, you know, what Jesus would do. Not that I don't think people necessarily think about Jesus in the sense of, you know, his actions so much, like how he was. It's more about what he said. But if I were to, you know, assume that I should have a, you know, great point to bring across next, or to be able to take it from some more insightful spot, it's like that is that sort of living up to some highest self. And this is what I'm bringing across right now. Like, this is what I'm expressing right now. So it's,
nicely done.
Yeah.
That was perfect.
Yeah.
My words are my father's.
Yeah.
You don't think Jesus went through that exact thing? That's what he's describing there.
Yeah.
I don't know what to say. Yeah. I just speak and shit comes out.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And I think I still have very much this track to like maintain a conversation, you know, like take from what was said and add to For what sure. was said.
Well, it means a lot about you, right?
Yeah.
Right? Doesn't it though? Yeah. I mean, if you're not doing that, then you don't come across as somebody who feels intelligent or socially confident or mm-hmm. somebody who's paying attention, somebody who's considerate, like, so, all of those things. It's all just identity, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah. Oh man. It's all some sort of like, there's always something that it would be like, I'd be trying to live up to mm-hmm. or to be, or to,
can I tell you one of my favorite things to say? I'm sorry, man. I totally spaced out there. Could you repeat that?
Yeah. Yeah. That's been happening to me like a lot recently.
It's okay.
Yeah, I know.
It's going to keep happening when you while you resist it too. That's the worst part about it.
Yeah.
Until you're okay with it, it gets worse.
Fuck. That's a good point. Because there are times then where I'll be like, you know, not try to not space or like try to not pay attention almost. And it gets hard. It's like the inverse. Yeah, exactly. Not that that's necessarily, you know, the best strategy. But if I'm, it's always my resisting my resistance.
Yeah. I've been doing the same thing recently. Yeah. I've noticed when I'm speaking, every once in a while, I'll suddenly stop and doubt a word I've already started. Uh-huh. I've started the word already. I get like the first consonant out and then I stop, there's a space, and then I continue the word. Why do I do that? Because I'm just doubting what I'm saying about midway through instead of just continuing on with it. Then, of course, after the fact, you're like, well, I'm going to watch for that. No. That's a bad idea because now you're watching for it. As soon as it starts to pop up, you're like, oh, there it is. And you stop again to look at it. Yeah. Right. And so the trick is to just let it go, to recognize it's just a reflection of whatever the fuck you're dealing with. There might be some hesitation there. So what? Mm-hmm. What other way is there to get through hesitation than to just go through it?
Yeah. And just, and not, yeah, and not assume that I shouldn't be hesitant or I shouldn't space out or I shouldn't, you know, deal with, you know, ups and downs or whatever, or like even, yeah, fuck man. And even being like, I'm super baked right now. And I think sometimes I'll forget that almost.
Also baked.
And instead of, I'll like, oh yeah, it's like the fight to stay on the ball. It's the fight to like have coherence in a response, something.
What ball?
Oh man, yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, just like staying perfect, like not messing up, not making it's only mistake.
You that's just you. As soon as you look for a ball, there's a ball.
Yeah,
the ball doesn't exist until you put it there.
Mm.
And it's there as soon as you pay attention to it.
Mm. As soon as you start, yeah, as soon as you start wondering, you know, how you're doing. But it's, yeah, and it's, I guess it's that feeling of not being able to take something in a specific direction. It's like, you know, unhinged sort of uncertainty of just like there is no direction to take anything specifically is a
counterpoint.
Uh-huh.
Do you think dragons existed
at some point? Somewhere.
Do you think they existed in humanity's history? Because I have some serious questions about this.
I think it's absolutely possible.
All right. So let's go in that direction for a second. Uh-huh. Okay. There are pictures and tapestries throughout the world of human beings fighting dragons. Throughout the world. Okay. In the Chinese zodiac, there are 12 animals,
mm-hmm.
11 of which are real. And then there's a dragon.
Uh-huh.
Why would there be one mythical creature in a wheel of 12 animals that actually existed, or 11 other animals that actually existed?
They're probably
exactly. Wouldn't. So were there dragons? Like, were there? Did we have dragons? Like,
there
like
certainly
we're talking
been.
Like 1,000 years ago, man. Yeah. There's tapestries of like Saint George and the dragon.
Yeah,
were there?
It could have been
dragons
1,000 years ago. It could have been 10,000 years ago, but like lizards, I mean, Komodo dragons.
Yeah, but Komodo dragons don't fly.
Yeah, but like, how much does it take to have wings? You know, that's like a basic evolution. You know, they start falling more from trees. They start, you know, they have certain, almost like a wingsuit, like a squirrel sort of situation.
There were still some remnants of pterodactyls.
Yeah, because that's just another evolution
and
of that.
If there were flying dinosaurs, think about that. If there were flying dinosaurs, they would have to have super thin bones because birds have hollow bones. In order to fly, the bone structure would have to be hollow. That's why there's no fucking fossils.
Wait, fossils of flying?
Of dragons.
Oh, of dragons.
There'd be no fossils of dragons because the bones would be too thin. But dude, there are recipes. There are ancient recipes with like, you know, dragon's blood and dragon scale and dragon. Like, these are all things that existed at one point. So they were referring to something.
Yeah, I think it's absolutely possible.
Are there dragons? Are there still dragons?
You never know.
Exactly.
You know,
there's this great movie called, I should write this down. We should watch it. It's called Rain of Fire. I don't know if you've ever watched it.
Nah. Oh, wait a second. Yes.
Christian Bale.
Yeah. I watched that. That was, I had that like on my PSP, I think, when I was really young. It was like a movie.
So Rain of Fire, the premise of the movie is that they're digging in London for, I think they're excavating for a subway tunnel or something like that. They're doing some archaeology stuff possibly, but they come across this big open cave, and in the cave there's a dragon that's been sleeping for like thousands of years, and it's because there was no food. Like, it just torched the whole world and went into hibernation, basically. Yeah. Like 10,000, 20,000 years ago. So now they wake it up. And so dragons now start spawning and take over the entire planet.
Holy fuck.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, they would do that shit.
It's a dope movie. It's a great movie. But I just wanted to make the point that you can switch direction anywhere you want.
Yeah, you really can. You really can. And like, yeah, any direction, you know, because when I was younger, you know, playing... And okay, so, and this is now the direction I'm going to take it. And I'm even hesitant right now to take it in this direction because it's like about, I feel like I'm talking about myself.
What other option do you have?
Yeah. Well, you know, for example, like talking about dragons, like a topic like
still that. Talking about me. I'm still talking about something I'm interested in.
Yeah.
Something that caught my fancy. I brought it up.
Yeah.
It's still about me.
Yeah. And it's still a... topic. I guess it's still your experience, because I feel like I can, there's a side of me that, you know, a common thing I'll fucking, you know, story that I'll run through is like I don't have anything to talk about, which is like the thing that gets in the way of, you know, having things to talk about. Exactly. And but in terms of like a topic, like understanding topics, like I haven't delved into
that's just time. Many
yeah. Yeah. And that thought, because again, it's like, this is the period, like right now you can start paying attention to a point that you start learning things and topics and all that stuff. Yeah. And if, but not for the sake of learning a topic, because like a lot of my life, I would learn topics so that I had something to talk
about. This isn't a classroom.
No, it's not. And it's not a test.
I'm not a teacher. Not,
no, at all. Yeah. And so I'll feel like I'll be talking about myself, like meta, sort of talking about myself pretty often. But yeah, like even getting into a topic, like a separate topic. Yeah, I don't know, man.
No, that's it though. Like, so I always say this, it really is just about context and living your life. But we spend so much of our life living for this fiction of ourselves that unless we do something that benefits that fictional self, it's not worth doing. Right? So unless somehow we're building that self up, we don't fucking do it. But man, there are, you know, books, experiences, libraries, art galleries, going to dances, there are murals, totem poles, there are so many things that you're going to run across randomly in your life that if you are not rushing somewhere that means something about you, you're going to stop and take that shit in. Mm-hmm. Perfect example. Out in Port Alberni, wandering around there one day, down by the waterfront. Port Alberni, by the way, shout out Port Alberni on Vancouver Island. There's this little museum down by the water where they show how the Snonemu or the local indigenous tribe used to hunt orcas. They used to hunt orcas, like giant fucking whales with teeth. Okay. And they would hunt them in little log canoes that they carved themselves. And so they would go out with like six or seven of these canoes with spears and they'd row out into the inlet to find an orca. And then they'd spear that fucker. And then ride the thing until it died. Like they just held on with their canoes and the other guys tried to like grab it with the same canoe. And basically they just had to like wear this thing down and hope it didn't take them under the water.
Holy crap.
Can you imagine? And then after all of that, dragging the carcass back. Okay. So all of that, everything that I just told you, I got from a plaque. That took me about 10 minutes to read and then about 40 minutes of tripping the fuck out on what that meant and looking at the inlet going, damn. But that's how long it took me for me to get that little bit of information into my life. That's how long.
Mm-hmm.
But it was because I wasn't rushing to get somewhere. It's because I actually just took the time to take a walk, read the plaque, smoked a joint, went, holy fuck. Like, really tried to put myself in that canoe. Uh-huh. You know, try to put in, and you'd have to trust your friends. You'd be like, dude, yeah, this is fucking crazy. Yeah. Like, there's no way. There's no way. And so just stuff like that. But that came about through just time and attention, yeah, right? Like, you've noticed, I walk around town, I see like a plaque about something, I stop, I read the mm-hmm. plaque. Why do you think I do that? Because all of a sudden it's something I didn't know.
Yeah.
It's something I didn't know that could possibly be cool, uh-huh, and possibly fill in some of the gaps about how the fuck we got here. Because that's what interests me.
Mm-hmm.
How the fuck did we get here? Like, you look at this room, you look at any room, you're like, okay, you know, it's a room. How did this become? Oh, these floors look like hardwood. They're obviously not hardwood. So, okay, when did we switch from hardwood to fucking fake hardwood? You know, stuff like that. There was a whole process that happened there.
Yeah.
You know, prices, trying to make new materials, new manufacturing shit. There's a world of questions that we just opened up that neither of us know anything about.
Mm-hmm.
We can quite literally go to a place that makes this shit and in a day learn more about it than most and anybody you're ever going to talk to again,
mm-hmm,
unless they work in the industry.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
You know, like, it's just that. Yeah. But again, like, I've had more time doing that.
Yeah.
In a lot of ways, because your life was very different. You know, you went through school for longer than I did.
Mm-hmm.
Straight up.
Yeah.
Okay. You had a world where you were, you know, studious.
Yeah.
Like, you did your homework and you fucking went to fucking sports and shit. Mm-hmm. You know, I was fucked up. I was fucked up, but I was fucked up with people who were also fucked up and had lived colorful lives that taught me lots of shit.
Yeah.
So it's just accumulation.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's, I think, where I'm at with things now is just like being like feeling like I'm starting from scratch almost. And so
that's a good feeling.
Yeah. There's like a back and forth between like wanting, you know, wanting to share stuff and not having, like, I kind of went through most of my life like superficially, admittedly, you know, like doing things for just for the test, you know, instead of actually taking it in.
Yeah, but that's and, how like, you survive in actually, that world.
Yeah, exactly. No, that's kind of what I'm saying. It's like, that's how I went through most things, was like not improving. And again, it's not even improving, but it was always this sense of improvement. Yes. Like, what's most efficiently going to improve
get me
there. Exactly. Yeah, exactly. And it wasn't taking time to, you know, read a plaque for the sake of just understanding it. Cause like, that didn't mean anything.
Well, it's not going to get you a job.
Exactly.
It's not going to pay the bills. Nobody's going to look up to you for knowing this useless bit of information.
Straight up.
And yet, isn't that funny? Because that's only true within a certain age range. You know, mm-hmm, this is the thing. We make the mistake of thinking that the people in our group are the people that, like, they're going to think like that forever.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So I find it funny. Like, my daughter's 17. She's, you know, recently started looking at like relationships and stuff like that. And I keep telling her, like, don't ask your friends for relationship advice. They've had one or two and it failed. Like, mm-hmm, I guarantee it. And they don't know shit. Like, they just don't know. Just don't ask them. But they all assume they know something. And you assume they know something because they're in your age group. So they validate you. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, they validate the way you think. And so you can't fault yourself for that. But to all of a sudden look at the people around you who are, say, like 25, who are all, you know, I don't know, excited about the latest thing on the fucking Bachelor or whatever the fuck, you know, I just dated myself. The point is that, you know, that's all they're talking about. And you can watch that shit and go, you know, in about 10 years, you're going to just be aching for something with fucking like actual interesting things to talk about. Because that's the thing. Right now, everybody's just trying to fit in. They're trying to keep up with the latest thing because that's how you know you fit in.
Yeah.
Right? Because that's always a group that exists, the people who must keep up with the latest.
Mm-hmm.
But to actually look at the foundation of things, like to actually understand when you're walking through a neighborhood that it came from somewhere, that it was part of the development of the city, mm-hmm. that there are reasons that these houses are different, that these houses and that these streets are designed differently than those streets. Mm-hmm. Like just to be able to sit and look around you without needing to know the newest information, but to actually see just fucking information everywhere. Yeah. There's information everywhere. And all you have to do is want to look.
Yeah. Yeah, just like, and doing it for that sake. Cause like, again, I haven't, oh fuck. I think maybe a part of it, and this is, I swear I'm not trying to like dissect myself necessarily, but I think, you know, this is where I'm at today. And right now, like when we started talking in the with the podcast and stuff, like I thought there was, you know, understanding the conversation, you know, first couple seasons of the podcast, like that was my thing, you know, that was what I brought to the table, was like questioning reality and being able to talk about it and being able to make points about it.
I was there.
Yeah. And like, that was kind of the whole, like, cause I've always gotten sort of if I'm interested in something, like got obsessive about it, like, you know, intermittent fasting. Started doing that in college. Yeah. And I, you know, one day a week would do it. And then, and again, like even this, I'm like, again, it's fuck. Okay. So I was thinking like, it's talking about myself again, but I'm talking about a topic. I am talking about a topic because it's intermittent fasting. And then I can get into,
but you can only talk that. About, see, you could talk about intermittent fasting in the same way you could do a book report. Mm-hmm. Nobody gives a shit about that.
Yeah, that's a great point. That's what I think I'm trying to do, is like make it into some sort of book report and like bring to the table, like, all right, if you do start intermittent fasting, your glycogen levels are gonna spike when you do eat a little bit higher, but then be more subdued, and think that I'm bringing across this like, oh, I gotta tell people about this shit, and it's like I don't even do it anymore. Like what, like, but having topics like that or having stories like that's, yeah, that's where I've always, you know, kind of felt a certain, I don't hesitation or feel like a lack, you know, mm-hmm. with that. But before, you know, social media, because I think with social media, it became a lot about this sort of one track thing, you know, getting messages across to people.
Oh, yeah.
Making videos. Sure. Like it became super one track. And I think, maybe that the more, you know, the more I'm relaxed, the more if I get pretty high and feel less certain about things like that start to hit me. And I feel like I'm in a sort of like the ocean, almost ocean of uncertainty or whatever.
Yes.
And cause for a while, you know, the podcast was us going back and forth about, you know,
at least you thought it was.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess it was still talking about my experience going through stuff and talking about things. But yeah, because like I would, for a while, I would like listen to podcast episodes about a certain topic, mm-hmm. so that I had that thing to talk about, like watch certain things, you know, sports. So that was a thing to talk about. And it was all like sort of superficial stuff. And it was all like the current,
stuff.
I know. Yeah.
There's always the conceptual stuff, right? Like the amount of information I know, how much information I know.
Yeah.
You know, but at the end of the day, again, like it's kind of like our weed reviews. You know, mm-hmm. we don't go into like the trichomes, the terpenes, how it's grown, any of that shit, because people can look that shit up.
Yeah.
You know, at the end of the day, I'm not trying to give that kind of information. What I am trying to do is give my take on it. Mm-hmm. You know, because that's mine. It's uniquely mine.
Yeah.
You know, the problem is that we don't think our take has any value. Mm-hmm. We're like, no, it's got to be, you know, third party verified. And it's like, you're not trying to give facts on existence. You're talking about your experience of being here. Nobody can talk about that but you.
Yeah.
You know, there's no book that's going to be able to explain that, you know, whatsoever. And I think that's the thing, is that we start in this place where we don't even recognize what it is we're doing throughout our life, that we're gathering little bits of information, we're gathering concepts, we're gathering ideas of ourselves, we're gathering all these things. And then we get to a point where all of a sudden we have an epiphany. We're like, fuck, I'm none of those things. Uh-huh. And then it feels like all the gathering was pointless, right? But the gathering is what allowed you to come up with enough context to once again reestablish that you're none of those things. Yeah. Right? Like all of a sudden you just became awash of all of it, and you had to give yourself time to digest it. You know, and now you have. That doesn't mean the time was wasted by any means, because it was getting you to a point where you realized you didn't have to get anywhere. But now that you're here and you have the rest of your life, what you really have is this. And what do you want to do with it? I like being interested in things. It's funny, you described it as kind of like being in an ocean of uncertainty. If I were to remove the threat of drowning, wouldn't you have fun in that ocean? Wouldn't you just pick a direction and swim around like a motherfucker?
Uh-huh.
Right? If all of a sudden the danger of being that ocean was being in that ocean was removed, mm-hmm. it would become play.
Yeah.
And that's it. Play.
Yeah.
You know, I go out in the world, I'm just like, what am I going to learn today?
Mm-hmm.
You know, because it's going to be something, you know, and it could be nothing from anybody. It could be me just walking down the street and suddenly recognizing that, you know, a fucking telephone pole is exceptionally old. You know, it's just like, wow, that's really old. And then all of a sudden I have a picture of when all the other poles are really old. Mm-hmm. Then it dawns on me that the town is really old. And it dawns on me the town wasn't even fucking here at one point.
Yeah.
And I start filling in the gaps with the trees and the countryside. Like, it takes nothing at all to suddenly just take something and go, huh. And look at it. But you have the rest of your life to do that. Now that you've removed the, but it's got to be for a purpose.
Mm-hmm.
Then it doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
In which case, you just got to fill your day with shit.
Yeah.
And the older you get, the more you realize you just got to fill your day with shit. And you could fill it with trying to be productive, but that's going to wear you down. Mm-hmm. You know, you can't do that forever, right? What are you doing it for, right? So the rest of it is just, I'm going to fill my day with my day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. And just taking in the day and just doing things. And I think with that sense of it's a lot of my indecisiveness too, you know, with there being, because like when you mentioned being in the ocean but not having the ability to drown, even then, like that immediately the thought of like a right direction hit me. Exactly. It's just like fucking in there, like always assuming it's about finding the right direction. And I think maintaining that sort of assumption that there's a right direction when I do have a bunch of options, and I think I'm seeing just like more potential options all the time, and then having this sort of just like a hesitation or a lack of faith in myself or whatever it is to, you know, just pick a direction and go with it, and like continuing a track of sort of listening and seeing that like there's no word that's gonna, it's like all just individual words, and if I get really locked into, you know, being here, it's like all I hear is individual words as someone's talking, and I'm like, oh fuck, I don't even know like where to, and then again, it's like a back and forth between not assuming that there's anything wrong with what's going on, but also, you know, the sense of, holy shit, I'm like locked into what's going on, but so locked into the words that are being expressed that there isn't anything additional. Like, it doesn't feel like there's anything additional happening. And maybe I'm so used to just like the additional, I don't know, like additional noise happening that I can pull from almost, or like something formulating.
But that said, it's just a difference in perception, or mm-hmm. rather attention, right? Like, you're really locked in on the word by word.
Mm-hmm.
I do the same thing. The difference is that I know my brain's not. Like, while I might be focusing on each and every word, my brain's still taking in sentences.
Okay. Yeah. I think realizing that it is happening, and like kind of almost trusting that it's happening.
Faith in yourself, man.
Yeah. Oh, goodness gracious, dude. That's, yeah, it's kind of hitting me like, again, it's, and that's just a, that's just another fucking story, you know, that I don't have, don't have faith in myself. It's like, as I tell myself that, it's like,
yeah, not, it's right there, you know, for sure. Cause you're thinking about yourself again, which is an act of control, which stems from that lack of faith.
Yeah.
That's why you're telling yourself a story.
Yeah.
You know, but, this is something that that's always really helped. And it, it dawned on me, early on was that I have the ability to distract myself. Like I have the ability to really take up like the lion's share of what I think is my attention with whatever focus I want. I can worry about something. I can think about something. I can want something. I can do all that. And I can really focus on that to the point of like blocking out a lot of other things. Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean it's actually being blocked out. It just means I'm blocking it out of my attention.
Mm-hmm.
See, because your brain continues to take in all of the information that's happening around you. You have to be really fucking distracted to actually tune everything out.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like your brain's still very aware. It's the most advanced computer in the world. Mm-hmm. Right? And it's taking in so much information at once. So much. Mm-hmm. And we just need to know that's always happening. The only thing that changes is how much attention we're pulling away from it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because we're not allowing ourselves to process all the information, because that would require us to stop focusing on what we want here.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because our brain's like, no, there's other shit. And we're like, shut up.
Yeah.
This.
Yeah.
Right? And it changes things. It's not that the brain's not taking it in. It's just that we don't want to.
Mm-hmm.
So we're like, no.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
It's still there.
Yeah. And like, yeah, even realizing like it's still happening and it's still playing out and it's still going on helps to be able to maintain that. So yeah, anyway, I feel like that's enough talking about that sort of thing. And again, now it's like, all right,
what are you talking about now?
Yeah, that's a great question.
We can talk about some of the shit we've been doing.
Yeah.
Although we didn't convert to Christianity yesterday, we did do a wing night review, which was dope.
Yes.
We went down to the Quarterway and we had four types of wings, and we're excited about this because it's really a chance to just get to know local businesses and promote local businesses, and as well as just get people to know that we're in Nanaimo right now. So I think this is going to go really quickly. We were thinking about later on this afternoon going downtown Nanaimo and doing a live stream from there, where we just sit downtown, chill out, smoke a few fatties, and just shoot the shit. Maybe practice some Wing Chun. We'll live stream from TikTok for a bit, and then we'll live stream from Instagram. So if you would like to join, fuck, you know, we can just connect it through Restream too. You know?
We could. Yeah, definitely. I could even bring my computer down there, but
it'd be interesting. Yeah. Point is, it's gonna be fun. So we'd love for you to join us. But the wing night review, that was fun. So again, it's one of those things where it's like, we'd like these four types of wings. Mm-hmm. Then they come back, we don't have that one type of wing. We promised we did. No, it's not that they didn't have it.
No, they accidentally put the wrong sauce on. It was gonna be gunpowder, and they accidentally put the Tex-Mex.
Yeah.
Tex-Mex was solid.
It was okay.
Yeah.
It was okay.
Yeah.
I liked it. It wasn't too bad. Yeah. Again, you know, wings. Meh.
Yeah.
You know, it's not one of those things I eat too often anymore, but it was good. It's been a long time since I've had wings. So we're going to do one of these wing night reviews as often as we can. If anybody is in Nanaimo and you're watching this, recommend a wing place. And then we're going to start tagging local businesses and other things. I was thinking we'd maybe drop by a bookstore.
Yeah, definitely that one around the corner.
Yeah, so, yeah. And downtown, there's the one downtown. They could use some support too.
Right. Yeah.
They did have Blue Moon wings. Wow.
They did.
Good question.
I have never been the biggest fan of blue cheese. There's certain things that I'll throw it on. And
that's legitimate. A legitimate bitch for
sure. Yeah. Yeah. It's just, I've never really understood how people enjoy it. Or
dude. There's a cheese festival in Europe where there are types of cheese where there is a glass over them because there are things living on the cheese that would jump off otherwise.
No shit.
Yeah.
Like termites?
No, like fucking little fucking bacteria and shit.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Right?
Well, it's like blue fungus, cheese, right?
That's right. And that's why blue cheese has those
things are going to be shit, living right? on it.
But there are some cheeses that are that nasty. They're that, and they're looked at as gourmet how that cheeses.
Smell is,
you know, it's probably quite potent. But the point is that there's some weird shit out there, man. There's some weird shit. There's a fucking coffee bean where it's excreted by a South American cat, and then they use the coffee bean after it's been excreted to make the coffee.
I hope they're cleaning that shit off.
Yeah, but it's because the cat's stomach enzymes do something special to the coffee bean.
Holy
How
shit.
Fucked up is that?
I would get some cat food. I mean? I'll like, try that shit.
I could go about this all day long. I know all kinds of stupid, weird shit. And it's because I take an interest.
Yeah. And dude, that's like, there's a, like, as you're talking about, like, I feel like all I have are questions about these things, you know? Cause like, I pat, like, the random stuff, the random information, facts like that, you know, like there's a coffee bean that is produced by a cat that's excreted in its stomach. And so now I'm like, and again, it's immediately like, because it's thinking about myself, like I got to go out there. I got to learn some random information.
It's just going to accumulate on its own.
Yeah.
See, that's the best kind of information.
And it's just paying attention.
Straight up. Too. And I'll tell you this though. Being armed with cannabis doesn't hurt.
Yeah. With paying attention.
As long as you're not judging yourself. Like, you know how people are like, oh, I'm high. I don't want anybody to know I'm high. I am happy with people knowing I'm high. Do you know why? Because I'm the person who's high reading the fucking plaque. Yeah. I'm the person that's high looking at the mural going, holy shit, this must have taken fucking forever to make.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. I'm appreciating it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, which has taught me to appreciate it when I'm not high.
Mm-hmm.
That's the whole point. That's why when I go to a restaurant and I see a photo of the town on the wall, I'm the first one to go, that's fucking cool. I had no idea it was like that. Because
you're just taking in, it's just taking it in.
Just taking in my world.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that like almost it's like a shift. It is a shift. Though too
big time. No, it's a huge shift.
Because and I think I discount that sometimes because if I'm like living my life based on this perception, it's like it was always learning things for
a point
for me to express for a point straight up.
Like,
dude, like it might make me emotional if I start talking about
it too
much, but like straight it feels like everything up until like so recently, like super recently.
Stop you right there. Everybody watching right now, I'd like you, if you can, if you're in the comment section, I just want you to just express whether or not you recognize how that feels. Because I fucking do. I certainly do. Where all of a sudden you realize that everything you've ever done was to get you fucking somewhere, that it was all functional to get you to a point, to make you more, to make you feel like you were on the right fucking path, that you had security and safety and people looking at you favorably. Just if you can, in the shout outs, in the comments, just say yes. Yeah, there you go. See, toss that shit in there just because it's so important to recognize we're all going through this shit because we were all conditioned that way. We were all brought into the schooling system to be part of the fucking workforce. That was it. We were made to be part of the workforce and we had to settle with not just getting a job, but then getting all the things that they said would make us happy while we had a job. And being looked at in all the ways that we thought would make us happy while we had that job. And believing in all the things that we thought would make us happy while we had that job.
Yeah.
They're all fucking coping mechanisms for working. Like, we've never been anything more than a fucking product to this system. And that product had a purpose. And that purpose was the most important thing that you had to teach that fucking product. And we all got it, man. Look, there in the comments. Yes, 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 yes. And if there were more people in the comments, you would hear more fucking yeses. Those people down there, yeah, 100%, for sure. Okay? And it's, we were all taught to live this way. And to suddenly come out the other side and go, oh, well, shit, I can live for me?
Yeah.
You know, what do I even do with that? This is why I loved that study we were talking about earlier last year, that they've tied together that people who have experience using psilocybin mushrooms and psychedelics work less overtime in their life. Yeah. Why do you think that is? Because all of a sudden that priority shifts. Those moments of actually being present and recognizing how little you're enjoying your existence, all of a sudden you're just like, well, fuck, what do I want to know? You know, what do I like? You know, and you start spending time doing shit for you. And that's what informs you. But we've been told for so long, like, no, 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 you got to know things to get somewhere. You got to know things to show people. Are you going to be on Jeopardy? You know, like all that shit. Like, that's the worst thing. Like, people literally memorize concepts and facts in preparation to be on a fucking game show. Right? And yet, if you were to go and talk to those people and ask them how these facts and how this knowledge and everything else has enriched their lives, very often they're not going to be able to answer that question outside of, well, I know a lot of shit. Yeah. Right? Yeah. Whereas me, man, my fucking world is so full. I've lived in an existence of just rich history, massive amounts of imagination, and like there's so many conspiracies and thoughts and theories and shit, and I don't know any of it. I don't know any of it. I don't know who made the pyramids. I don't know if there's a Freemason fucking conspiracy behind the government. I don't know any of this shit, but I know of it. Uh-huh. I know of it. Okay. And that makes my world very full. It makes the possibilities very full. It makes my life very enriching because mm-hmm. it's for me. Yeah. It's for me. And I don't need to settle on anything because that's just about me mm-hmm. rather than being for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that shift, like doing it for me and just for my experience wholeheartedly and expressing things for my experience, not for someone else. It's like that shift. It's interesting how much, you know, how long we've talked about stuff, and like with the shift in mushrooms, like definitely shifted my priorities, but it was still, you know, understanding things, expressing things for a point. Like it's always been for a point, for a reason, to get somewhere. And I know that it's to get somewhere, and I know that it's, you know, a component of the system, and like that being a product, like being a product to get somewhere. And even, you know, with doing the running, like getting into running for a bit, doing the gummy runs, then it's like, that was something, if I was on a podcast, like could talk about that sort of experience and like stories from that. But it was, and I guess it was just an experience. Yeah. And then I could get asked about it and talk about it and, you know,
and think about it.
Yeah. And explain how, like, yeah, I will run sober sometimes, and sometimes I'll take an edible, and the sober runs I can definitely do, you know, a lot faster, and I'm more locked in, but it isn't quite as enjoyable. You yeah. know, when I take a little bit of a gummy, it's like, yeah, I'm not as fast, but then I'm also wondering, like, why do I have to run fast? Like, where am I trying to get except to be more efficient? And then there's a little bit, you know, I'll feel a little bit more, like get a little bit more anxiety bubbling up. But then as I relax through it, and as I continue on, it's like the music's amazing. I feel more, I see more, you know, all that stuff. And so doing things like that, and like even going through an experience like that, like, again, it's like, I'm not telling it for a point. I don't know if this is like existential crisis type thing or feeling, but like a part of it feels like that like there's no point to expressing anything.
There's no point to expressing anything.
Yeah.
Straight up.
Yeah.
Remember I told you that, like, the most, I guess, one of the greatest expressions of truth is silence. Mm-hmm. Remember I said that?
Yeah.
At the deep end of this, there's nothing to say. Right? There really isn't, because the point is where you are and what you are. So if there's no point to expression, then it really comes down to whether you want to express yourself.
Yeah.
Not why, but because you can, like anything else. You know, there's no point to anything. It doesn't mean you don't do it. You know, like that's really it. But you do it because you can and because you're alive.
Yeah.
But it's weird to do that, because you were always taught, like, you know, oh, you're just wasting time. Get to school.
Yeah. Right?
Oh, you can't be out there just fiddling and fucking around with your friends. You got to learn some shit, you know, get to school, get a job, fuck, you learn some responsibility and all that stuff. And so all of a sudden you're left in your life with your free time. Like, you go to work, and then once you realize, like, okay, I just did that so I could pay for my bills and live my life. Now I'm left with my life. Mm-hmm. What do I do with that?
And it's like, at that point, most choose to distract.
Find a relationship. People try and find a relationship at that point. That's what happens, is all of a sudden somebody starts looking for an anchor.
Oh, fuck. And so, like, the yeah. way that, you know, the world is built in is, yeah. And I'm like, feeling all sorts of just like shit, you know, like weird emotional, like half crying, half just like,
I need you to know that's all the time for me. It doesn't show, man. Yeah. But yeah, like if you've ever watched me under the surface, and I know somebody else who's known me here for a while, they watch some of my micro expressions, like, mm-hmm, I feel shit all the time.
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah.
The only thing is I've been feeling it longer.
Yeah. Yeah. and to, you know, to even express, like realizing how much my life was for a point, like I was building myself.
Yeah.
Straight up building myself. And I don't feel that anymore, but like that was the driving, that's always been sort of the driving factor. And if it wasn't that, then it was, you know, distraction from the building. And it was just doing something, but I don't even, because I feel like I could pay closer attention at points, and I'm hesitant to even get into. I can't.
Or is that just taking your attention away?
That's just taking my attention away. That's just another thing taking my attention away. Yeah. And all these things are just things taking my attention away.
Trying to pay attention is taking your attention away.
Yeah. Oh, goodness gracious.
Because you have a concept of what paying attention is as opposed to what it really is, mm-hmm, which is kind of synonymous with relaxation. Right, it's like the difference we have between like focus, mm-hmm, and attention, right? Like we really think focus is a good thing. We're gonna focus, yeah, this thing. Uh-huh. It's like, you know, there's a generalized focus. There's to actually just be attentive without paying attention specifically, mm-hmm, right? And that's kind of the point, is just be attentive, yeah, to your life, yeah, from moment to moment. But that shit, again, it's practice, man. You know, but it starts with the little things. Like, mm-hmm, you don't realize it, but you're already doing it in a number of ways. Like you've already started, you know, just expressing yourself, doing things. Fuck, you're out here on the island. Nobody, mm-hmm, nobody inspired you to do that. You just decided to do that.
Yeah.
And these are all choices. They just don't feel like that because you're still looking at all the shit that you're dealing with. Mm-hmm. But this is how you deal with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This is how you go through it. Like those moments where you're like, I need to pay attention. And then you realize you're like, fuck, I just got in my own way again. Mm-hmm. Like, there's no way to have that insight without doing it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's no way to learn attention, yeah, without actually going through this shit. Mm-hmm. There's no way to live for you without first recognizing how many ways you weren't.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. But this is why Alan Watts, when he talks about, you know, music and life, and he talks about how, you know, we're kind of led along from, you know, grade school, you know, to high school, mm-hmm, to grad school, to a job, and the whole time there's like, here, kitty, 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 here, kitty, 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 you know, come, you get the reward, you get the reward at the end, you know, and he describes it as a hoax, as a dreadful hoax. Mm-hmm. And it is. It's a terrible, terrible thing that we've done to ourselves and humanity as a whole. But it's so important to recognize that you can weep for us, or you can celebrate your freedom. Mm-hmm. And in celebrating your freedom, you're an example to everybody else who didn't know they could be free, mm-hmm, without even meaning to be, because you're free.
Yeah.
But that means, you know, at some point, you just got to stop looking back at those who, I don't want to say deliberately, but subconsciously imprisoned and manipulated you, because they imprison and manipulate themselves. You know, we're just waking up out of this now. And it's really important that we not beat ourselves up or be resentful of the past, because this is why nothing changes.
Yeah.
You know, we maintain that mentality that fucks us. Yeah. You know, celebrate. Yeah. Celebrate, learn shit, do cool shit. I mean, this is exactly why we're doing this podcast. I'm not going to lie to you. This is fun for me.
Yeah.
You know, it's fun for me. It's fun for me to go through things that are straight up fucking emotional, straight up uncomfortable, straight up, you know, unpleasant in some ways, because the alternative is to dodge them, avoid them, ignore them, try not to talk about them. Don't talk about religion and politics, you know, like shit like that. It's like, fuck that noise.
Yeah.
You know, fuck it. Mm-hmm. This is great. You're already expressing yourself. You know, it's funny because you're like, I don't know if I have anything to express. I'm pretty sure. And again, shout out in the comments section, if you can, that everything you've said in this entire episode has resonated with pretty much everyone, mm-hmm, without you actually knowing that it had any value to anyone. You could feel like it didn't the entire time. And that doesn't matter at all to the reality. I want everybody to listen to that. Okay. You can feel like you're not adding value all the time, and yet people can be taking what you're doing and making value from it. It's not about you. You're trying to take responsibility for the whole experience. The only thing you can do is look at how authentic you're being now. And if that means being authentically lost, then that means being authentically lost. Mm-hmm. And the only reason you don't want to be is because of all of the reasons that you think you shouldn't be. And without those reasons, there's nothing wrong with it.
At all. Nothing wrong at all with being authentically lost. And even, you know, even right now, like going through this, you know, processing this and going through sort of struggle, like experiencing this sort of not having anything to share, like, you know, or expressing whatever this is right now is yourself. A component. Yeah.
You're expressing yourself. You're doing exactly the thing you said you can't do.
Yeah. Is the thing that then there's going to be a point where we'll talk about this experience at some point and how much it, you know, shifted things and impacted things or whatever, like that period of time before I got my own apartment when it was like, you know, going back and forth and shifting and growing.
That's good. Yeah.
You know, because there, this is the problem. Like, I feel like I'm in the thick of this change and it's like this, you know, fucking crunching sort of eye of the hurricane sort of feeling. And there's certain spots where it feels like, you know, more intense and
change like that.
Yeah. And yeah.
But you make the mistake of looking at me and going, well, you don't seem to be suffering through all this. Right. I'm old.
Yeah.
I've been through shit that's fucking,
oh, like, yeah,
curl your fucking hair.
Yeah. You know?
But that's it. Like, if you could see me when I was your age, you would find that there's almost no gap, like in a lot of ways, like just the sheer intensity of the feelings and the sheer like raw emotion that goes to trying to figure things out in a way that very much feels like you're on your own because you are.
Yeah.
Right. Like, I need you to understand, like, I have a 16 year head start on you in a lot of ways, not to mention the fact that I've been on my own for far longer than you have. You know, even at your age, right? So to look at the gap and go, you know, fuck, I feel like I'm dealing with this shit and nobody else is, it's kind of unfair, right?
Yeah,
admittedly, it's unfair to you because you can't see where I was, where you are, right? But I want everybody to know right now, and if you're listening again, can we mention, if you're out there, this is hard emotional work. Anybody else going to resonate with that? Can we all fucking feel like we don't know what the fuck we're doing? Can we all admit that it feels super overwhelming to recognize that you really don't know and that you might've just been doing things for reasons that are actually causing you a bunch of shit to deal with? That's hard, right? Like, that is not an easy thing at any age. At any age, it's really not. And there's a lot of emotion that goes there. To think there's no emotion that goes with admitting you don't fucking know is just ridiculous.
Yeah.
There's so much emotion because it goes right back to our infantile state, man. It goes right back to where we fucking started in a world where just like, holy fuck, there's a lot happening and I'm not even sure what to do, right? Because there is no answer to that. And we grew up with people saying there was. And so now we're always looking for that answer instead of just being that answer. What do I do? What are you doing? Right?
Yeah.
And that's as far as it fucking goes.
That's
what do I do now?
Yeah.
This. And swim. There's no danger in the ocean. There's no danger in the ocean, but there's some cool shit around.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can go and find some fucking, you know, seaweed, some fucking types of fish, you know, maybe an orca.
Uh-huh.
Don't have to spear it or try and bring it down with a canoe.
Yeah.
Figured to bring that around full circle. But the point is that it just takes a little while to get used to it because you're going to go through your days and you'll have it for a little while. Be like, yeah, this is fucking rad. I'm digging it. And then all of a sudden, an hour later, you're like, did I just waste my whole day? Uh-huh. It's just like,
oh man, straight up. Yeah. It feels like that. It can certainly feel like that. Like that sense of, you know, the back and forth even, and knowing that even right now, like through this conversation, this could almost be, in, you know, years ago be like traumatic in the sense of I felt all over the place throughout an entire live or a lot of a live stream call, but like it doesn't hit in the same way now. Like I don't, you know, it doesn't drown me out like the additional layer of the sense of like I'm not doing something well, you know, because that would be sort of a constant thing as I went, was like, oh, that went well, that went poorly, hope this goes well, I got to live up to this sort of thing. And so I know that people are going to resonate with whatever is being expressed all the time. And so I guess there, yeah, it doesn't have to be this, like, because I don't necessarily judge afterwards. It's like, all right, well, on to the next thing and pay as much attention as I can there, like do my best there. And it's not like this sort of, yeah, it's not this judgmental sort of thing like, oh, how did that go? How did that, you know, call go or that podcast go or blah, blah, blah. And it isn't that necessarily, but there is the side where it's like explaining things, expressing things, sharing things. It can, I think it's gaining an understanding that I can express for no reason, for no point at all. And like, there isn't a beginning or end that I'm getting to. Yeah. It is, and just moment to moment.
No less or more interesting. Yeah. Or, 'cause it really comes down to me.
Yeah.
Doesn't it?
Uh-huh. Yeah. And that sense of like, because it's, again, it's trying to measure me, like how much do I have to share? How interesting can I make this sort of thing? And all these sort of things kind of pile up almost into this, yeah, into this idea of how something's going and how it should be going. And like, oh man, versus it just, you know, continuing on. Yep. And yeah, and like taking things in for the sake of taking things in, and want, like I'll wonder if I'm going to be able to, you know, remember it or whatever. And it really is just feeling like new, like a newborn, and not in the sense of like born again, awakened, blah blah blah, like a fucking baby, like a baby who doesn't know
you've never stopped being.
Yeah.
Isn't that funny? And so all of a sudden we feel like we're back to being a newborn. That's the point.
Yeah.
Right? Because that's when we didn't have that self-concept that blocked us from the world. That's when we were actually experiencing reality as it is, as a giant fucking unknown.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
Vulnerably.
Yeah.
Without needing to feel like we're in control.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but that's, we didn't know that. We had almost so much fear because we couldn't take care of ourselves. Uh-huh. I wanted to switch direction very quickly because somebody had said something in your, I don't know if that's Instagram or TikTok. TikTok. It looks like TikTok. They had said something, you know, but not everybody's going to find this mindset. It was way back. Don't know why I'm looking for it. True, but not everybody's going to find themselves in this mindset. What mindset? And I really mean this. Like, what are we talking about? Are we talking about a unity mindset, a non-dual understanding, like all that just spiritual bullshit? No, we're not. And I really want to get this across. What if, and this is just a fucking, you know, possibility, if we were all actually given the space that we need, and we understood how we got in our way, if we were all allowed to actually develop in the natural, organic way that we would, and again, reference to Jane Lovinger's ego development stages, we would all eventually come to the recognition that we're one. All of us would come to the recognition that we're one. If we were all in an environment that facilitated our growth organically, that allowed us to actually naturally go through the stages of ego development until we recognized, oh shit, this idea of me is actually keeping me away from everybody else. Because these are the natural stages of ego development. But our system, our society is stuck on identity in stage 3 and stage 4. We look to identity in order to know who our group is, where our support is, who we should resonate with, and who we should stand against. We identify in these ways, nationalism and religion are two of the biggest ones, but now it's splitting off into all kinds of other shit. We identify and we hold on to that identity as if it is real. And that's what splits us from everybody else. But keep in mind, this is not a normal thing. This is not a normal place to get stuck in as a species. There are other stages to our development that our environment currently does not facilitate because we do not prioritize growth. We prioritize power, control, accumulation. We prioritize the ego and how it evaluates us. That's what we prioritize, and that is why we suffer. But if we were to change the environment, all of us would eventually come to the recognition that we are quite obviously one. It's just the environment. There is no mindset to come to. We are all on the same fucking spectrum from selfishness to selflessness. All of us are on that same spectrum. It's just, does our environment promote selfishness or selflessness? And the environment promotes selfishness. But if you are selfless, if you see beyond selfishness, you are a part of that changing environment. And that's all that's necessary.
Well said. Yeah, because this is certainly not any sort of mindset, right? Like that I've been feeling or that anyone may feel if they're not, you know, trying to express something for a point or for a reason. It's like a lack of a mindset, a lack of a overlaid sort of direction. Cause like any mindset even, oh fuck. It's like, it is kind of a lack of a mindset. Cause any mindset kind of gives you a baseline direction. Like, holy shit. And so then you can talk about stuff, you know, like I'm a religious person, so I can, because again, it's like, don't talk about religion and politics in mixed company, but in non-mixed company, talk about it all the time. That could be your whole topic for a dinner party.
And often is.
And often is with some sort of direction because it's inherent to the people talking about it. It
reinforces the identity. It keeps them all together.
I am this, and I am this, and I am this, and I am
this. Oh, I agree. I was a lot of that yesterday.
Yeah.
I was going to even buy more of that tomorrow.
Yeah. Oh, or like a group of runners. You know, they talk about their, you know, the runs and then some additional stuff, you know. But there's sort of a baseline mindset mentality that is, again, like I saw a Krishnamurti post yesterday talking about, you know, the continuation of mindset mentalities as we go, like generation after generation after generation. And it's just this attempt to maintain, you know, because how many children grow up thinking the same stuff that their parents, exactly, and their parents' parents and their parents' parents and their parents' parents. And there's subtle shifts over the years, but that's kind of where it continues, is this way of defining identity. It's straight up identity. Cause you, again, it's like, I mean, we've talked about that obviously plenty on the podcast, but this sense of like, okay, who are you? You know, if you weren't a liberal, if you weren't Jewish or Christian or blah, 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 if you weren't, you know, a anxious person, you know, if you weren't a basketball player who played pickup basketball, if you weren't into guitar, like all of these things that create this sort of sense, like what if you went through everything that you defined yourself as, every single goddamn thing, and you were able to see that it wasn't you, like exactly, it wasn't actually you, you'd just be left with yourself.
That's the process that naturally happens too, is if you keep going through it. That's what happened to me.
Yeah,
I kept trying to be a different me, thinking one of these has got to fucking work, until finally I was just, none of them work. They all go the same place. They all go the same place. And that's exactly it.
It's just, that's pretty much where I'm at right now.
But see, that's the thing, though, is that you've got to go through the cycle. You think you're one thing, and then you let it go, and then your brain defaults to the next thing, uh-huh, and you let that go, and then your brain defaults to the next thing, because you've ingrained it with this process of identifying, mm-hmm, over the years, and mm-hmm, so it immediately goes to the next, and immediately goes to the next, and so you got to go through the same process of getting stuck in it, looking at it as a positive thing, catching the conflict, yeah, going, oh shit, what am I doing? Suddenly feeling lost and confused again, letting it go, and then immediately coming to clarity. And then that, watching that clarity form into another concept.
Yeah. Fuck, dude. That's definitely like the Denver retreat last year. I mentioned it a couple times, but like that mushroom trip, like, peeled me the fuck back. And I think, because that was when I got really into the marathon training at the same time. And so I think, you know, looking back, it just hit me now that there was a realization of like an older self-concept that has sort of stuck to a degree with me since that point. It's been under the surface the whole time, but it was almost like chipped down and then seen for the first time. And I felt like I was back in, how much time?
Yeah, 5 minutes.
All right, sweet. I felt like I was back in high school. Like I was straight up back 15 years old, like that overwhelming feeling of, because I was so quiet, like never shared anything or had any, felt like I had anything to say. Like I was that kid who was the quiet kid, you know? And it was such an overwhelming sort of sense at all times that I just subdued, because I was like, well, I could just not share any or say very little or just be very curated and careful when I did express something. And that was that's a lot of time spent like not expressing anything
day after day,
like not express. So even now, no wonder I had this like fear of speaker sort of narrative. Because then I built on top.
Could you imagine that? I got to ask you, in your adult life, can you imagine spending 12 years being ingrained in any mentality now?
Nah.
You know how much that would fuck with you?
Yeah.
Like, we don't even consider how much fucking 12 years of schooling from being a child. Holy fuck.
Yeah.
Like, it fucks with us. It changes our entire world.
Yeah.
And it's just that we're not on the streets reminding adults what the fuck life's about.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God. And so it's almost like the sacrifice of doing that. And so that in June was when I think I recognized that. Like I became aware of it. And then I started getting really into the marathon training after that, like right away. Cause I think it was almost like new narrative scene that killed me back quite a bit. And then it was that shift, that jump to like the next narrative, a way to define myself. And now it's like, I'm saying I'm not a runner, but I'm sort of a runner. And yeah. And then from there, it was like realizing not that. And that got me to the marathon. And then I knew it wasn't going to like be fulfilling necessarily. And it was fine. And it was what it was, but and then it was like, that was kind of the end of that thing. And then I think the other stuff started to come back a little bit.
So the underlying thing behind that, though, was that at the same time as you thought you were trying to find another identity, you were also challenging a previous one.
Right.
You had never run a marathon.
Yeah.
You had never run a marathon. More importantly, run a marathon. You had never run on gummies.
Yeah.
You know, like all of that was new. So see how, isn't it interesting? Yeah. Like you can cherry pick anything you want out of everything that's happened before now and think that you see an underlying trajectory, but they're both true.
Yeah.
Which means neither of them are.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're still just left with now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And like trying to dissect that, it's still all just a component. It's entirely uncertain. I can explain my point of view on like, oh yeah, this happened and this happened, but it's like, that's my perspective of how it happened. That's not how it happened.
No, it's a perspective.
A perspective. Exactly.
Because if it's my perspective, it can't change. If it's a perspective, then there are other ones that I can look at.
Yeah.
Right. And that's very much the point of everything, is that you're never going to know what your life has been. I need everybody to recognize this. Like, if you want to look back and try and figure out what all of this means, don't. Mm-hmm. Because you're going to find meanings and none of them are the right answer.
Yeah.
You know, none of them, because they can all change according to your perspectives. You're going to have a stressful day. Your life's going to be a piece of shit. You're going to have a great day where you feel clear. Everything's going to make fucking sense. You're going to feel like you're in heaven. Mm-hmm. Like, which one's true? Neither. And both. And that's the whole point, is that it's just the perception, but it's fucking believing in that perception, attaching to that perception, declaring that perception is truth, that's what fucks you. That's what ends up rooting you back in the identity that is fucking tied to that perception, because for every perception, there's a perceiver that matches it. So as soon as you get attached to one, you get attached to the other. And it's just recognizing that it's all in flux. It's all temporary. There's no meaning. You are just here now. Which way do you want to swim? Which way do you want to swim? You want to do the breaststroke? You want to do the backstroke? You want to fucking dive to the bottom? You want to dive above the water like a fucking dolphin? You can do all of that shit because you're never going to drown, but you can certainly panic as though you are.
Yeah. And you can take it in any direction.
Just splash it. Help me. Nobody's like, you're fine.
Oh my gosh, like being in a 4-foot pool and thinking that you can't touch and like freaking out. And then you just put your feet on the ground. Like, oh, right. Yeah, no, I'm above 4 feet. I'm actually quite all right now.
The ocean's made of you. You can float and you have gills. You're fine. You know, you'll be okay.
Yeah.
But that said, this has been a dope episode. Love these conversations. Thank you, everybody. Everybody. I was hunting rabbits. Anyway, thank you, everybody, for joining us. This has been a lot of fun. We're going to be on Patreon after that. It's a tier one call today, so you can join. We have a 7-day free trial, and you can join as a tier two member. Or if you want to pay $5 a month, you can join us up to 3 times a week for group chats. We do five days a week of group chats if you're tier two or tier three. We have a retreat coming up in fucking 10 days. Stoked. We're going to be in California soon. So if you're in California, give us a shout out. Let us know. And we'll see you on Patreon very soon. Love you, everybody.
Bye, everybody.